Russell Simmons and Sean P. Diddy Combs helped draw an estimated 21 million young people under age 30 to this year's polls. Do these numbers translate into political capital for the music moguls? Author Yvonne Bino believes it's time for a new generation of African-American leaders, but wants young people to be careful who they follow. She recently sat down with reporter Allison Keyes to chat about her new book, Stand and Deliver: Political Activism, Leadership, and Hip-Hop Culture.
Politicians, like anyone else, they want to keep their jobs, and that really requires them to have the ability to garner a large number of votes and to run their campaigns, which means that they need a large amount of money every time that they attempt to run. So we've talked a lot about registration drives, and these are very good initial steps. But the ultimate thing that is going to make this generation, the hip-hop generation, influential in the future is to be like their predecessors, at least to the extent that they can deliver consistently votes to politicians or use it as leverage to deny them if the politician or public policy is not to their liking.
In your book, you give a very detailed history of the black political agenda, beginning with David Walker's 1829 appeal in four articles, together with the preamble to the Colored Citizens of the World. How much do you think the black political agenda has changed over the years, and what should it be for African Americans in 2004?
Well, I think one of the fatal flaws is to talk about a black political agenda. Blacks are not a monolith. They are represented by very different political ideologies, religious faiths, even ethnicity. We have to look now at Africans from the continent of Africa, Caribbean Americans, and so forth. So I think this whole idea that one agenda is going to suffice for all black Americans, frankly, if it was ever viable, certainly is not viable at this point in time. In my book, Stand and Deliver, I really talk about the idea that the agendas themselves might have come from great places of intentionality, but they fell short probably because, number one, some group of elites self-appointed themselves the arbiters of what black Americans needed and should want without any buy-in or any consideration of what the actual people might have wanted. Secondly, they didn't really do a great job in most instances of even publicizing whatever conclusions they came to. So they, in closed door sessions, made these pronouncements and then, you know, circulated them amongst themselves. I think also, too, most of them lacked some type of timeline as to when these things should occur and under what circumstances will we know that some progress is being made.
Toward the end of your book, you suggest that taking steps to heal the wounds of the black community needs to come from a new leadership of all hues. As you said, does that mean you think that whites should be involved in the process as well?
Well, I think that we have to be realistic. We live in a country that encompasses a whole number of different people, whites, Asians, blacks. So to think that you can find some solution off by yourself, I don't think that that's particularly realistic, given what I just said about the composition of America. Mm-hmm. However, with that, I think that black Americans, as with most groups who find themselves on the outside of the mainstream considerations, have to do their own internal work first. I think they have to become strong. I think that the things that are holding them back, they have to be self-criticizing and work towards remedying those principles, if that's the case, or whatever practices that might be a hindrance to them moving forward. That being done, then they are strong enough to then work with other groups and organizations and ethnicities and whatever have you towards finding commonalities and working towards their common interests.
I know from our conversations before, you've been rather unimpressed with the so-called charismatic black leaders, you know, who don't produce results, and the Russell Simmons and the Sean Combs, and they're out there registering the vote, but are they really doing anything? But if you also say that the traditional institutions in the black community have abandoned black youth, what's wrong with a rapper as a role model?
Well, I think we need to parse out the statement. Charismatic leaders can or cannot be rap artists. I think that certainly there are rap impresarios or rap artists who certainly could be real leaders. They certainly have the intelligence and the drive and the energy to make substantive change. But what I challenge is the notion that you can do this as a sideline. Certainly we've seen in the past people like Jesse Ventura, Sonny Bono, other people who were entertainers who then decided, hey, I want to do something different, and took off that entertainment hat and went into the political realm. If you're willing to do that, I'm all for you. What I'm not particularly interested in is people of any entertainment stripe who want to do this in between concert engagements, studio appointments. We need people who are on the ground, who are dealing with these issues on a regular basis, and who actually can devote the time and the energy to working towards substantial change. Now, the role of artists certainly is important, but what I have problems with personally is the fact that we have made the entertainer the 20th and 21st century leadership. And I think that change, it has not proven to be effective. I think that we should more carefully choose who we put forward for their opinions and who we just, you know, listen to their music and enjoy their artistry.
Yvonne Bino is the author of Stand and Deliver, Political Activism, Leadership, and Hip-Hop Culture. She joined us in our studios in New York. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That interview was done by reporter Allison Keyes.